we compare ourselves to someone else's highlight reel, and you do see all the perfect, you know, the beautiful cooked meals or the perfect tidy house and all of those kinds of things that we do see and that are put into our news feed and in our life. And I think that's really, really important to realize that that is one dimension to someone's life.
Lisa and I recently sat down with Christy from The Imperfect Mum for a webinar for mums who get shit done. We had so much fun. So much fun. Christy is just an awesome chick. She shares all the same philosophies on, this whole constructed kind of image of motherhood. And she's one of those people like Lisa and I who want to really deconstruct that idea of perfection in motherhood. So the next 45 to 50 minutes is Lisa, Christy and I just having an absolute blast. I hope you enjoy.
Mums who get shit done. We're mums who get shit done.
Oh, fuck.
Hello, everybody. Wow. We're a bit excited. We just got a sneak peek at our very special guest tonight. Now, I'm sure that some of you are here because you know Christy a lot more than you know Carly and I, and that's great. So Carly and I are here. We're from the Mums Who Get Shit Done Facebook page, and we have invited the most amazing imperfect mum, Christy, to join us for a chat. We cannot wait. We've already been chatting. The excitement on the other end of this is just out of control. Christy, welcome.
Thank you. Well, I was going to say welcome, but no. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And hello, Carly. That sounded a bit weird. She's in Lennox Heads, and she has a little bit of trouble with internet sometimes. Forgive her. She might have actually gone, and she might be coming back. So, Christy.
Yes.
I love everything about your Facebook page and your website. I've followed you for a while and you make me smile and you make me feel better about my day when it's totally turned to shit. And I would love to know a little bit about your story and why you created The Imperfect Mum.
Okay, so I'd definitely say the main reason was because I always wanted to be a mum, you know, ever since I can remember. I especially remember when I was about 13 years old, and it was a really strong feeling for me was to have a baby, which is kind of strange, but I always wanted to be a mum. I really struggled at first to have a baby, and I was blessed with a beautiful little baby boy that unfortunately was born prematurely, and he passed away not long after he was born. So that was a really, really tragic time in our lives. But then I went on to have two more beautiful little humans that light up our day, and they're gorgeous little people. But I actually really, really struggled and still struggle with motherhood. And what's interesting about that is that I have an amazing network around me. I have my parents who live next door to me. I also work for my parents. I have really great family and friends, but I still really struggled and I felt really alone in motherhood. What kind of came to me in that process was, if I feel really alone, what about women that don't have those networks? You know, what does that mean for them? And more importantly, what does that mean for their family and what does that mean for their children? And so I wanted to kind of create a place that women could go to and they could ask questions and get support and get love and get connection judgment-free. Sometimes that can be hard to navigate because there's 43,000 people on there now. So that can be hard because it's such a busy page that it pops up into everyone else's news feed. So someone may see the post because it might be the auntie of someone, and it might pop up in their news feed, so they might answer a question. So it sometimes gets really, really difficult to navigate. And I'm really lucky that I have a beautiful friend that helps me with that. But, yeah, to answer your question, I suppose it came out of a desperate time in my life and really thinking about, if I was blessed enough to have this amazing support network, what did that mean for people that didn't?
What I wanted to say was that, I mean, I am one of those people. I've had all my three children away from our family here in Sydney, and then my third in Brisbane, and our family's all from Melbourne. So I totally get what you're saying. And it's just so true. It can be so isolating. Oh, that feeling like there's no one else in the world except for you in your little shitstorm. What I wanted to know was, what have you learned things about mothers that maybe you didn't know through this process of running the Imperfect Mum? Like, what have you learned, good, bad, about mum?
Us is we are so incredibly hard on ourselves, you know. The pressures that we put on ourselves since, you know, at that moment of conception, we have all these unrealistic ideals of what motherhood is and what, you know, parenting means. And I think that's because, you know, I always say it comes back to the media and what we're fed as consumers, is that we're given this perfect picture of motherhood that doesn't exist. It does not exist. And we're kind of fed this picture of what life is and what motherhood means. And it really is so far from the truth. And I think that is one of the biggest problems. And, you know, I think as mums, we're always putting ourselves last. We're constantly last on our list. And I would say that would probably be one of the biggest things I've learned. And it kind of saddens me a lot, because women are so powerful and so amazing. And it saddens me that we're always putting ourselves last on the list.
Welcome back, Carly.
Hi. Can you hear me okay now?
Totally can.
Awesome. Yay!
If it happens again, let me know, and I'll just turn off my video, and then you'll just get a much better photo of myself. It's a still taken by a professional.
Did you have something you wanted to ask Christy before? Because I just asked what she's learnt about mums, and she was just saying that we're really, really hard on ourselves, and also that we put ourselves last.
Totally. Yeah, no, I think I was at the time you were talking about having support but still struggling, and I was just going to say that, you know, Lisa and I are both in the position where we're away from family, and it's so hard. It's so hard not, you know, to have it. It just adds, you know, I think it would be a struggle regardless of whether my mum was here or not. But I know when she's here, I feel a lot more supported than when you're the same, Lisa, right? When your mum's around, it just makes things a little bit easier, because you can boss them around and tell them to go and fold some laundry or whatever.
Do you know what I think it is? I think I wasn't prepared for the sometimes it's just the responsibility, like the enormity of the responsibility. And my mum is that person who is responsible for me. Like, she's the cushion underneath when I need somewhere to land. And it's hard without that. And I feel for people whose mums aren't around at all.
I completely agree. And I think the biggest thing for me is the repeat, that day after day after day of just the same things. You know, I find that sometimes really, really difficult, the monotony of motherhood. It feels like your life is constantly on repeat.
Groundhog Day, again and again and again and again.
Especially if you're not a routine person. If you're like a go with the flow, it's really difficult to deal with that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, 100%. And, you know, when you said about the media thing, I think that's so true, that we are fed this image. And I think, you know, if you're around our age and you've had kids and you've been through a good education system and you can be whatever you want to be in the world, and you might have had a good job, you might have not, you might have really wanted to be a mum, you might be a mum by surprise. Either way, we go into it with no fucking idea, and also with how boring it can be so much of the time.
That's the biggest thing I find, is the whole, like I was saying, like just the boringness of just the same day over and over and over. I think that's one of the biggest things that I struggle with the most is, especially if you're a creative person and it's just, yeah, that whole monotony thing is quite overwhelming at times.
Last night I was interviewed for a podcast, a Happy Mama podcast, and she asked me what I did for self-care, and I was like, well, you know what my favourite thing to do is put on my tracksuit pants and catch up on Nashville, a TV show online. Yeah. Totally trash. And she, at the end, she was like, thank you for being so honest about your self-care. That was total gold. I'm like, well, what? I'm not going to say I create a crystal grid and sit inside it and light candles.
If you do, that's totally fine.
Do that.
I love crystal gritters, and I wish I was one of you, but in the meantime, I'll take Nashville, and you aren't familiar with that show. Yeah. But, Christy, what do you do for self-care? You know, you say we put ourselves last. Like, what are your kind of things that you do for you?
I'd have to agree. I actually am the same. I'm very much, my daughter and I, our little time out, we've watched the whole season of Parenthood. We're nearly at the end, and she's only 9, so I'm not quite sure if that's the best thing. We've watched Offspring as well, but yeah, we like to just chill out and watch movies. I love reading books. I just adore, you know, laying in bed and having the lamp on and reading a beautiful book. But to be honest, I haven't done that much lately because I've been pretty busy. But, I love hanging out with my girlfriends. That's one of my favourite things, and drinking wine with them and having a laugh and, you know, just having a good time. But, yeah, reading a book is something that I love to do in bed, snuggled up. And watching movies with my beautiful daughter is another big thing.
You're all about self-care too, Carly. It's something we talk about quite a bit on Mum. You get shit done. It is just so easy for us to put ourselves last. Like, for example, I took 2 of my kids to the chiropractor today. I'm probably the one who needs it the most, but I just wanted to make sure that they were done.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, we've talked about it before, you know, on our webinars. I have a list of my top 10 self-care things, and they're just simple things that I do when shit's going well, you know, and they're very small things like I make my bed, I stop and I enjoy a cup of tea, I dance, I put on a good song and I sing, I get outside, I walk on the beach. You know, they're just very small little things that I do when everything's going really well, and I try to commit to do 5 every day.
Wow.
Because they're small. Yeah. It's totally achievable. Like, I can make my bed every day if I am committed to that, because I like the way that that makes me feel. So it's like a little self-care kind of thing that doesn't take up a lot of time. The cup of tea thing's a big one. I do walk every single day on the beach because I need it, because without feeding myself that time and giving my mind that space, because I'm like one of those people who is like, talk about Groundhog Day. My brain's fucking Groundhog Day. It's like, there's an idea, 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 there's an idea. You know, it's like, exhausting. That's a good one. Oh, what can I do with that idea? What can I do with that idea? Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, so I exhaust myself just talking about it, really. But so I need that space for my mental, you know, sanity. So, yeah, so I'm big on the self-care. And I think, like, the biggest letdown people can do for themselves is to think that self-care has to be, I go to the day spa for a day, you know, or I have to be away from my kids to be self-care, to do self-care stuff, you know. Like, you can still be a mum, you can still have 10 kids and hopefully make yourself a cup of tea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's about, like, honouring the little things that you do. Anyway, that's just my little self-care tip thing.
I love it.
I know, Christy, that you're all about empowering women. This whole Mums Who Get Shit Done idea came about because I saw, and Carly saw, a quite successful female entrepreneur give her top 3 productivity tips. And the first one was don't have kids. Yes. They suck the life out of you, and you've got time when you've got kids. And I'm like, life sucked out. They take up all my time, but I'm still getting shit done. We can still do this. We can still be mums and have a life, or have be filling our own cups and still be doing stuff. And you seem to be someone who gets quite a lot done. How do you do it? So how do you manage your life so that you can be productive outside of being a mother too? And I know that you're very big on empowering women, and we'll talk about your Empowering Women conference, but what do you think sort of holds us back from taking that power?
I think one of the biggest things that I have, is I have a great support network. My husband is incredibly supportive, as I am of him. But I think it's about having everyone on the same page and realizing that if there's certain people in your family that have goals, you need to support them in that. And I think it's good for our kids to see us supporting each other, and realizing that my husband's goals are completely different to mine, but we still support each other and give each other that allowance to follow our own dreams. And I have a beautiful friend that helps me on the Imperfect Mum, and she gives me that time to create other things, which is the conferences that I'm creating. But I think the biggest thing is to give yourself that time, and we need to realise that it's actually teaching our children lots of important things, and especially for them to take care of their own selves, and to foster those tasks of looking after themselves, which might be even looking after their own space or certain jobs that they might have in the afternoons. It's definitely about realising, especially once they get past a certain age, that they are responsible for certain things in the household. And the household is run by a team, and that means mum and dad and the children. And I think there's so many people that just get stuck in this rut of doing everything for their kids. And I've never been in that rut, thank God. And I'm always about educating and teaching my kids how to do things, you know, making sure that they have those tasks in the afternoon that they do. Every afternoon they have to unpack the dishwasher, unpack their bags, tidy their room the best they can. They're not allowed to do any kind of TV watching or any kind of fun things until they've done their jobs. And that allows me time to focus on what I need to do after work, because I do work 5 days a week outside of the home. And I run the Imperfect Mum, and I'm organising these conferences. So, yeah, my life is quite hectic, but it's all achievable because of my network, and also because we do have these kind of realistic expectations on what we can do as a family.
In regards to your life, I guess, do you have, like, are you a person who has a lot of structure or routine, or are you more a go-with-the-flow type?
Yeah, I am no structure, no routine, no, it's quite bad. I wish I was more of a structure routine. Certain aspects of my life, like I was saying before with the kids and making sure they do certain things in the afternoon, yeah. But besides that, that's about where it begins and ends. I actually get really bored by routine, and I get really bored by structure, unfortunately, because I think that's actually really, really, structure and routine are really, really good to have. But I'm quite creative, and I think it just mucks with my flow if I'm too stuck in that. Yeah. So no, I'm very much go with the flow. That was my husband background saying I'm spontaneous. So there you go.
Yeah. It's funny though, because I think that that's one thing that I've learned about motherhood, is that you're still you on the other side of being a mum. Like, you don't become like some, I think I imagined I might become like an earth
Martha
mother.
Stewart? Like you might become Martha Stewart or something?
Totally.
That shit was never going to happen for me.
I thought I'd you know, just walk around baby wearing all the time and stuff, and it'd be Totally beautiful. But then I actually found out that I really like routine. And I don't, like, my kids have been, like, in routines because I think that worked for me. But I started working again from home when my son was 4 months. So I was like, I'm all about the nap time. Like, you got to be napping. So
I think I hear your sister for sure. Yeah. Got to get that nap time in.
Yeah. So, Christy, apart from, I mean, your very good fortune to have an awesome support network around you, and I do believe you reap what you sow, so, and I'm sure that you are an amazing support for all those people too, what would you say are your kind of top tips? What would be the main things that you would advise mums in all that you've read, in all that you've seen, how to really kind of thrive in motherhood? Is there any type of formula or little sneaky tricks for us?
I think the biggest thing is to definitely put yourself back on that list. And like we were saying before about the whole guilt thing, I think we're always putting ourselves last, and that really does no one any good. I think teaching our beautiful daughters to look after themselves, and like Carly was saying before about self-love and self-care, but I think about teaching them by them watching us and following our dreams and making sure that we're putting ourselves up there, not first, because we automatically put our children and family first, but I think it's about making sure that we follow our own dreams and that we teach them on that, you know, on our own path of enlightenment, if you like, but following our own dreams, that they then see us doing that and realize that it's achievable. And I think you know, it's sad when we see so many women that are so inspiring and that aren't following their dreams because they're thinking that they have to be a certain way, whatever that means to them. But I think if we're just making sure that we're putting ourselves on the list and realizing that our children will benefit from that is a good thing. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, totally. Totally makes sense. For example, in like the most basic of forms, my daughter is 15 months. And I gave her a banana, and she watches me when I peel her banana, and I always take the stringy things off because I hate the stringy things. And I gave it to Mabel, and she pulled the little stringy bits off, and I said to Miko, how does she even know to do that? And he goes, because she watches you do it. And I didn't even realize that she had ever watched me peel a banana, but she had, and she'd learnt to peel the stringy bits off. Like, if she's learning that, she's also learning how to treat herself, how to talk to herself, how to look at herself in the mirror. You know, she's, when I look at myself in the mirror and I'm picking on myself, she's learning that that's okay, you know, like all of our behavior. And if you think about that, that could be pretty scary and frightening. But I think, like, if you're trying to just, like, think, is this the kind of behavior? Would I be happy if my precious little daughter was speaking, acting in the way that I am, you know? Yeah, if the answer's no, then maybe shift things a little.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
There's some awesome comments happening in the chat box, and for people who are new to webinars, you know, you can just be writing us little comments over there. But Amy said that kids have made you so structured and routine-based and you've totally lost your creative, spontaneous side. And I have three children, and my eldest was three when the third was born. So my life for the past few years has definitely been in that zone, and I have found that I've had to find the creativity within that structure, because otherwise I was getting bored of myself, of the same thoughts. That would be my advice, but also know that this stage will pass. Like, Christy's kids are a bit older and they're doing awesome stuff, like sitting there watching freaking TV shows together. I dream of that stuff. We'll get there. We all get there. And Lorraine's just made a comment. The banana story reminds me, my four-year-old boy knows which way the toilet roll goes on. He learned it from me. Wow. I don't have a way, but well done.
Oh, I have a way. I have a way. I am with you 100%, Lorraine. I know the way the toilet roll goes, and it's not the way my husband thinks it goes. Just saying.
We're lucky if we put the toilet roll onto the little...
Yeah.
Oh, people like you. Oh, what am I doing?
But Karen also here has said, and I wonder, Christy, if you've got thoughts on this, is that she's having to let go of the expectation of the way you think things should be has been very big. And I must say that's a constant journey for me. Have you found the same thing?
Definitely. And I think that's, again, the way that we're taught motherhood should be by the media or by friends that don't realise what they're doing by giving us maybe portraying motherhood in a maybe not the most truthful way. And I think that then kind of makes us feel that we should be the same way as they are. And I think one of the biggest things is, and you know, it is such a big thing that we all do, is that we compare ourselves to someone else's highlight reel. And it's something I talk about often, is that we're always looking at what other people are doing, and what, you know, social media is such a big thing for that. And I love social media. I love that platform. And I think Facebook is a perfect platform for a more positive type way of communicating. And you do see all the perfect, you know, the beautiful cooked meals or the perfect tidy house and all of those kinds of things that we do see and that are put into our news feed and in our life. And I think that's really, really important to realise that that is one dimension to someone's life, and that's all it is.
Yeah,
you know, we're
exactly.
not seeing the husband, the fighting with the husband. And, you know, I've been with my husband for 22 years now, and a lot of people comment on our relationship and say, oh, you guys are so amazing and, you know, you're so lucky and, you know, good on you. And you think, no. We are not lucky. We have worked bloody hard to have the relationship that we have. We are really strong friends and we're a united force, but it's taken 22 years and so many ups and so many downs to get to where we need to get to. And I think that's the thing, is that we're often comparing our lives to someone else's, and you don't know what they've been through as a couple, or you don't know what happens in their family life every day. And that's what I have loved about both of you girls, is that both of you on Facebook are very, very honest with life and motherhood. And I think that's such a, you know, a breath of fresh air when you're on Facebook and you see someone's baby laying on the ground and crying and, you know, messing around them. You go, oh, thank God there's someone out there telling the truth. I wish this was around when I had babies, because I didn't have that. And I didn't have, a good – none of my friends had children. It was just me alone in the house by myself. No. So it was hard, you know. But, yeah, those shoulds, you know, are so bad for our mental health, because we're always telling ourselves, oh, we should be enjoying this magical moment with our children. But you know what? We don't have to enjoy every friggin' moment of motherhood, because every moment isn't that great. There's some golden moments, but there's some really shit moments as well. And I think it's important to share that it's so multifaceted and so multidimensional, this motherhood thing. And it's so frigging beautiful, but at the same time, it can be so frigging hard. And if we are more honest with each other and we are more keen to share that and support each other, I think the world would be such a better place.
Totally. Totally. I am absolutely 100% in agreement with you. And I think that's why Lisa and I do it. I have always been what people call an oversharer. And I think, like, from the feedback that my friends give me, it's like, you make me feel okay about myself. I don't know if that's such a good or a bad thing sometimes, but I do, because, you know, it comes from a good place. I can't be anything else but honest. And on that Facebook, you know, perfection, like, really, if you're thinking about Instagram, generally what happens is you have a whole bunch of mess, you know, you're taking a photo of something on your desk, you got a whole bunch of mess there, and one tiny little thing that you're taking a photo of So you shove everything to the side and you take this beautiful, neat photo of this portion of your desk while there's chaos and crap all around you in all directions. But nobody sees that. All they see is the beautiful shot of your cup of tea, you know? So we just need to keep that in mind when we're going through our Facebook feed and, you know, and it's all sunshine and roses, because it's probably in that tiny little window of the camera it is right now, but beyond that, who knows?
Oh, and people who know me, like who follow my Facebook page, because I'm in the food area, I cannot tell you that my kids eat every meal I put in front of them. I cannot tell you. Like, I take photos of the crust pizza box because sometimes we have pizza, even although, yeah, eating real food's good, which it is, and don't get me wrong. But do you know what I mean? Like, I just think also if you do have people who are watching you, maybe you've got there's a responsibility there to not also make it all roses. But and what you said, Christy, about marriages taking work, I think we can really put up walls around some of those things. Someone said to me the other day that there's shame involved in marriage breakdowns or relationships not working, and you know, I think that there's almost a show of strength in going, it wasn't working, it didn't work, I care about me, I'm moving on, or it's not working, we want to work it out and we need some help to do that. Like, I think that's really powerful, instead of feeling like you've got to manage it all on your own, because as we know, I think as mums, that we're just stripped of like everyone wants a piece of me sometimes. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And you know, clearly my husband bears the brunt of that, but that's something that, you know, and different stages of your kids' lives is different stages of your life as a person and your life as a partner and a daughter. Like, our roles are constantly evolving and changing, and we have to let that happen and be honest about it, because otherwise it just all is like hidden in here and then we get sick, I reckon. Mm. Too much trapped energy.
Yeah, well, actually, I have this thing that I've suffered from depression myself, and I feel like, for me, it was like this. Like, I suppressed, and then eventually I depressed, and that, for me, was depression. I had swallowed my emotions so far down that I could no longer feel anything and became kind of numb, and that was, for me, what depression was, you know? Depressing all that suppression. Yeah.
That is the perfect way to explain depression. I think a lot of us don't realise what depression actually is. Mm. And, you know, when I started realising I was depressed and I started talking about it, what others started going, oh, I think I might be as well, you know. Mm. And that's what they say. I think depression is actually a French word for compression, like you were saying. It's about being pushed down. Did you know that, Carly?
No, I didn't. it's just was that feeling, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like, I would go to cry and I would swallow the tears, I would swallow the feeling. And then when you swallow enough bad, you're also like limiting the good, because, and that's the thing with motherhood, I think, too. You know, we have these super lows in order to have those magical, magical highs. You have to have the full range. You can't have those, oh my God, this is just like heartwarming, exploding and goosebumps and magical, without having the fuck my life moments. Like, there has to be that whole range, you know, in order to have that, you have to have that.
Yeah.
So, oh, we've seen your boobs there. Someone actually did mention, how's the girls? Has anyone lost the girls? So you're just...
I was just, you know, showing you some boob action.
She's still got it,
yeah, for sure.
That's what I was illustrating. Okay, you can still see them. There we go.
People, you guys feel like you lose us. Maybe I should just write in there. Refresh your page if you lose.
Oh no, I think she's lost the boobs. Amy's lost the boobs, not us.
Well, I'll just put on there, if you ever feel like you lose us, like you actually do, just refresh your page and it should come back. Sometimes it's a lot for a computer to watch a webinar because there's a lot going on. It's like watching TV. Interesting. I know that with the talk about depression, see, Lauren's just said since becoming a parent, she suffers from anxiety. All these things that have come out in us when we're stripped so bare, I reckon, like we cannot pretend anymore because we're so always like on the edge almost.
Yeah, and I think, like, I have a mother's group of about 12 local women that, you know, we had babies around the same time. Sometimes we don't have much more in common than that. Sometimes we do. But one of them came out, or she actually said, yeah, she must have come out on the Facebook group that we have and said that she was suffering from depression. And then I wrote a whole bunch of stuff about, you know, my own journey with depression. And from that, four other girls from this group of 12 contacted me individually and all had suffered from postnatal depression and all were doing it on their own silently because they didn't know. They thought everyone else was fine because they're seeing this perfect world of motherhood on Facebook and not realizing that they're not alone, you know, and that I find incredibly sad. And that's why I talk about depression like all the time, probably much to the annoyance of people around me. But because I find when you talk about things, you kind of normalise them a bit and you open the door for other people to have that dialogue too, you know, and say, hey, yeah, because so many people don't even know.
And I think, Christy, you're a pioneer of that, really, in Facebook. I really do think that you have to be so congratulated for what you've done for opening up that safe space for people to talk about the things that they really... It's really hard to find a safe space to do that. So you're the best.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you. That's actually
cheers to that.
Oh, that's so lovely. Thank you. Thank you. I have to say that I'm blessed to have the community that I do, you know. If I didn't have all of these beautiful, and there's so many amazing and perfect mums out there that, you know, they just... Sometimes I don't have an answer, like I can't possibly give an answer to a question. And then I read some responses and I go, wow, aren't we just so blessed that we've got so many beautiful women that can reach out and can answer that pretty full-on question. And that's the thing, I think, that once we realise that we're all just people, that we're all struggling, and there's some people out there that have... unfortunately had such a hard road and, you know, such a different life to us. And I suppose in some ways I was blessed because I was brought up in a small fishing town up in the Gulf of Carpentaria. And so we were immersed in this culture of just all so many different types of people. There was drug addicts, there was really, really wealthy people, there was middle class, there was all these different types of people. So I saw at such a young age that it didn't matter where you came from and what background you had, that we were all just people and we're all trying to do our best. And I think once we realise that and once we really, really embrace that as humans, that, you know, our world will be such a better place once we support each other more.
And I'm just even looking at the comments and the site, and people have been so open and honest about their struggles, and everyone's just chiming in with support. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
I think when you're open and honest and doing things from a good place and one of integrity and authenticity, then I think, you know, you give people the opportunity to also come from that place, you know. So by being that person, you essentially allow other people to reflect that back to you and, you know, and step into a better version of themselves too, which I think is a magical thing to do.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Well, so tell us, Christy, because you've got this amazingly huge online community and it is full of very articulate and beautifully helpful mothers, but why have you felt, so your business is sort of that and now you're doing conferences too. I know you did one last year. I know Kiri White. love her. She spoke at your conference. She's doing it again. But I wanted to know why you feel the need to do that, to connect in that way with people, and what you hope for the people who come to your conferences. How do you want them to feel at the end? What's the purpose?
I think what the biggest purpose for me is that I love meeting imperfect mums, and it's so exciting when, you know, I get to see them in real life. And to me, you can have an online community and it's so incredible, but once you get to connect and hug and touch and speak together in you know, person to person, it's such a different atmosphere. And what I loved most about our launch conference here in Cairns was the feeling of connection in that room was mind-blowing. And the reviews that we had afterwards were just everything I could ever have imagined it to be, because, you know, the biggest thing that people said was their love and connection and heartfeltness of the day. And I suppose that's what really, really draws me in as someone that loves connection. I love having that that real connection. So it was a natural process was to take it to the next step, was to have a live day. So Brisbane, we're having the conference in 2 weeks. Yeah. So it was just such a natural step was to go to more of an online day. I mean, a live day. We've got it at a beautiful venue in Brisbane, because I think we need to, as mums, treat ourselves. So we've gotten a 5-star venue in Brisbane at Ridges, South Bank, and it goes for the full day, and then we'll have drinks afterwards. Woo! Wine.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Peppermint tea.
Carly and I'll be here.
It sounds amazing, and I do think it's true that we can. I think also I have an online community, and Facebook is sometimes like a bit of a lifeline. You know, you can just, everything's everywhere at home, and the kids go down for a nap, or you get 2 seconds on the toilet to yourself, and you just think, I'm just going to check in with the outside world. And it's so awesome to be able to have that. But there is nothing, there still is nothing like in-person contact. And as mums, I think we need it.
Totally. And I think what was beautiful about the conference in Cairns is there were so many new friendships, so many beautiful new blossoming friendships that happened on that day. And it was beautiful to see all these, you know, all these people, and even in my group of friends, and then I just saw that their group expanded within Facebook, and it's beautiful. And I think once you put yourself out there as a person too, to broaden your network, it does take a bit of guts, and it takes a little bit of putting yourself out there, but you only come away with good. Nothing bad can come of putting yourself out there and wanting to meet new people. And I think Facebook is such a great place for that, but it takes a little bit more courage when you've got to actually go to a venue by yourself and, you know, turn up that day and make new friends. It's you know, it's such a great thing to do.
I don't know how you do it all.
That's what people say to you too, Lisa.
I know, but I know. It's weird though, yes, I can see that probably people think that about me, and people do say it to me, but it's sort of weird when you hear other people, and, you know, like you work out of the home 5 days a week, like... That's massive, and you're putting on events and you're running your little community.
My kids are out of school. I mean, are like 7 and 9, so that helps. And also I have amazing parents. Like, I work for my parents at our educational store, and they're incredible. Like, they're really, really good people. Like, I'm talking probably the best people I've ever met in my life, and I'm blessed to be born into the arms of those two people. So they're very much about... the imperfect mum. They love it, and they love what I'm doing, so they allow me time at work to do it as well.
That's awesome. I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you so much. Carly, did you have anything else you wanted to pick Christy's brain on?
Really, I just have one last question. Do you have something that you do that you think could be worth other mums implementing into their life to make it a bit better, groovier, whatevs? Like, do you have any exercises? Mm-hmm. You know how I was telling you I do the cup of tea thing? Have you got any, like, a juicy little takeaway that the peeps could put into their, or, you know, try out? Anything that you, sorry for springing it on you too.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me and from my point of view is, and I know that I've said it, but I think that we really, really need to follow our dreams and don't stop saying, I can't afford it, or I'll do that when, or once the kids are in school, I'll do that, or
whenever, when I lose 20 kilos has been one of my excuses. Well, there's always something, isn't there?
But we all say that stuff and it is just bullshit because we just need to do it. And, you know, 5 years ago I was renting. We brought half an acre and I said to my husband, well, we really need to, we can't really afford it. And I went, well, if we can't afford it, I'm going to sell the block of land then, because if we can't afford it now, we'll never be able to afford it. I suppose the message in that is that you just need to do it. And stop putting it last and stop putting your dreams last, because they'll never happen. And you've got to put yourself forward sometimes and put yourself in scary spots sometimes, you know, and just make that effort and do it and follow your dreams, because no one else is going to do it for you. And, you know, even with you girls, you know, good on you for doing the videos that you do and making it real. Because if there's so many of us sort of go, oh, I don't want to film myself because, you know, oh, I don't really look that good on camera, or not that you girls don't, because you're both hot as, but but you know, like, you've just got to do it and make sure that you put yourself out there and achieve your own dreams.
You know, totally what? I needed to hear that right then. We all need to do that sometimes, don't we? It's like we need to, it's not like you need to give me permission to do it.
Permission is a huge thing. Permission, yeah, it is permission. For some reason, a lot of the time, we feel like we need permission from other people to do things for ourselves, when really we're the only people who can give ourselves permission.
Yes, it's so true. I feel like I'm so glad you asked her that question, Carly, because Christy, that's almost been like a bit of a light bulb moment for me, you know, because there's things that we all sort of sit on and we think, you know, I just need to do one more course and then I'll know enough. Or for my husband and I, we're thinking, where are we going to move to? Where are we going to live? And it's like, you know what? You just made it seem like just having the guts and making a decision is most of the battle, and we've got the power within us to do it.
Yeah, and I have to say, on that note, is one of my most full-on things I've ever done in my life is hold a conference and then take a conference to a different city. And the amount of fear I've had and the amount of sweat-breaking fear and terrible moments I've had of, shit, what if no one comes, or who's going to want to pay to come to this conference, or all those terrible things that we tell ourselves, is just it's just fear. And there is nothing to that fear except if you let it take control of your life. And fear, I think, once you break through it, is magic. Always. I guarantee you that, because once you listen to your own intuition and break through that fear, your life will change, and I'll guarantee that it'll be everything you've ever wanted. And whether that's taking a big mortgage, whether that's going on that trip that you wanted to go on, whether it's doing the course that you've always wanted to do, if you do it, you will have an amazing journey at the end. It'll be amazing.
I love you. I love you, and I want to go out for a beer with you. Like, can we just go and get drunk together?
We're doing it in 2 weeks in Brisbane. Woo!
You know what? That could be like a takeaway. That could be not a takeaway like beer, but that could be the takeaway for people, is think about something that you've been a bit fearful about, or that you're indecisive about, you're not quite sure, and you know it's going to take a little bit of guts to get out there and actually do it. And that might be, you know, if you're a new mum, actually attending your mother's group. It might just be as simple as that. It might be something really, really small, but something that you've been holding back from, you know, you'd kind of like to do. Well, maybe that's what we can all do. We can all jump off this, think about something, and then have a go. That would be doing it the imperfect mum way, right?
Yeah, woo! Love it. Perfect. Woo! Love it, Lisa. You've nailed it. And that's the thing, is it doesn't matter what your fear is. If it's fear to you, it's fear. So just break through it.
Well, it has been so freaking awesome to be talking to you. Best fun I've had for a while. That doesn't say much about my life, but...
Well, you are drinking peppermint tea.
Yeah.
No, and for everyone who has joined us, thank you. And your comments have been beautiful. We're just going to sit here and read through them all now. Mel's going to make that phone call tomorrow about returning to work. Wow. Oh. So if anyone is interested, Christy's conference is going to be in Brisbane and Melbourne, so check it out. The link is there if you would like. We are so grateful to you for joining us. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, and love to you all, and thank you for coming and listening tonight.
Mums who get shit done. We're mums who get shit done.
Fuck. I hope you had as much fun listening to this podcast as Lisa, Christy and I had making it or bringing it to you as a webinar turned into a podcast. If you loved Christy's philosophy, head on over to theimperfectmum.com.au and I'm sure you can find all kinds of information about her community and any upcoming events there. The one in Brisbane, sadly, was on the 21st of June, so it's probably a little too late to jump on that one. But if you're in Melbourne, she has another gig coming up. If you do want to check out and see what else she's got going on, check out theimperfectmum.com.au. And if you dig Lisa and my style, head on over to our Facebook page. We don't have a website yet. It's just Mums Who Get Shit Done. And connect with us there. We do these webinars on a regular basis with other inspiring mums. And if you want to know when the next one is, you'll need to jump on the Facebook page so you can find out all about it. Hope to see you there. Until next time, peace out.